Welcome to today's episode of the Ideonomics podcast, where we talk about inclusion, diversity, equity, accessibility, and anti-racism in the Canadian Public Service. I'm your co-host, Neha Shahzad Chandrarajan, joining you from Ottawa, which is the land of the unceded and unsurrendered territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabe peoples.
I'm Fishala Shimbidesi. I work at the Canada Border Services Agency. I'm the current chair of the Racialized Persons Advisory Committee and a portfolio lead of the Women's Advisory Committee. I'm located in the city now known as Toronto, which is the traditional and ceded territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabe, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples. On today's episode, we are pleased to welcome Brianna Marty.
Hey, Bri, I'm wondering if you can introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Bri, Brianna, I guess. I am a student working with Natural Resources Canada. I am in my undergrad at the University of Guelph in Biological Science and Psychology, and I'm a rugby player. So I play for the University of Guelph. I played for Team Ontario, for Team Canada, Eastern Ontario as well. And yeah, if you can't find me studying, you will find me playing rugby because that's my favorite pastime.
Mm-hmm. Brianna played for Team Canada under 23 women's rugby team. And Brianna, how did that go?
It was amazing. We played in a series, a two-game series called the Border Battle, and we played against the USA, and we beat them both times. The first time, I think it was like 24-12. It was kind of a close game, and we went back to the drawing board, and we were like, I think we have some work to do, some unfinished work left on the field, and we came back and beat them 55-5. I believe that was the score. It was great. It was such an amazing opportunity, and I'm blessed to have been part of that.
I watched that. It was fantastic. You did some incredible takedowns. I was so impressed.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
How did you get into rugby union? Canada is not one of the countries where rugby is a major sport. So how did you get into rugby? How did you find out about it? What piqued your interest?
So it's funny, like I was always a basketball player, and I thought that I was going to go to the league. I really thought that that was going to be my sport. But my high school coach is actually was the head coach for Carleton University. And I guess he saw me walking in the halls one day and he was like, I think you would be good at rugby. And so like all of the rugby players kind of stalked me and they were like, come to tryouts. So I went to tryouts and I played that first season. And then the next season, I got asked to try out for U18 Team Canada. And I made the team that year. And I had like played like maybe 10 games of high school rugby. So like it wasn't even good rugby. It was just people just kind of like getting the ball and running. I didn't know the rules. But yeah, I got fortunate. And it was an incredible experience just getting to play with amazing people. The people that I played with in high school, like all around high school, they are now like in the Olympics. They're now playing for great teams.
So is this something you think you'll continue to pursue professionally?
We'll see. That's my hope, for sure.
What was your training schedule like just before the big Team Canada game? Yeah. Because you were doing that while you were working with Enercan. Yeah.
So sometimes I play for multiple teams at a time. So at that time, I was playing for the Griffins and Guelph Redcoats, which was a club team. So I have practice every day. And then we have lift times. So that would be probably like about three times a week. So we're in the gym lifting heavy weights and things like that. And then we have games every weekend. So with rugby, like you kind of want a week in between games, like high performance games. I personally have agility sessions because I'm not as agile as I should be. We stay pretty active. But honestly, if I wasn't, I don't think I would be where I am today.
Oh. who are some of your role models that you look up to? Anyone that you aspire to be in terms of like the sports world?
Honestly, it might be a bit cliche, but I love Serena Williams. She's amazing. And I think a lot of my story kind of follows hers. Not like she's a powerful athlete, but she always wasn't given her stars because she didn't have like that athlete's body. She didn't have, you know, that quote unquote, like signature look for a tennis player. And I kind of grew up in that as well. Like I was always the tallest kid in class, always the bigger kid. And honestly, even playing in basketball, I would always foul out because, you know, people would be like, I can't control my body. But coming into rugby, I was able to do that. And I found a place on the field. And I think Serena Williams kind of finally found her place and her comfortability in her body. And she was like, I don't care what people think. This is me and my body can do amazing things and I'm going to embrace it. And that's what I love about her. And that's kind of why I kind of give myself that motivation pep talk. I'm like, this is what I love about my body and this is what my body can do for me. And I love that.
I think that's so important. And you're absolutely right. Like she doesn't have that traditional slim kind of tennis player's body and it makes her powerful.
Like we say, she's the GOAT, but she's amazing. Like I think also her going against what everyone else believes is amazing. And it goes to show how much powerful she is.
Yeah. And I was thinking about what you had mentioned earlier about when you were, I believe it was high school, you said, where the coach came up to you and said, I think you're a rugby player because you were naturally like doing basketball because they probably saw like your physique, you're probably more of a rugby type build. And so that's a great way for you to use what you have in supporting this career that you may not have known to even explore in this sport.
Yeah. I think that's a really great point that you brought up because I think all of us are always like, what do people think about our bodies and things like that? And kind of have that thought in the back of our head. But having someone recognize that like my body could do amazing things was a huge thing. And it's brought me on this amazing path, you know, and now I'm doing great things in this sport with my body. So I think that's a great point that you brought up.
And so I'm starting to get into rugby a little bit because I'll be traveling to Australia and New Zealand, and I have an Aussie friend who I will be meeting up with, and I was talking with him and he remarked to me that their impression in Australia is that North American countries could really become competitive at rugby because of our population sizes and the talent pool that's here. Do you see any growth in the sport in Canada?
There is massive growth right now. I think in young women's, I think rugby is one of the fastest growing sport, like in age grade. And I think that's incredible. Like, so Canada just played Australia, New Zealand, and the USA in Ottawa. And there were over 10,000 people in attendance for a women's national rugby game. And that's almost unheard of, especially in North America. And so just like the recognition that women's sport is getting already in North America, because our population is growing and because we have so many people from diverse backgrounds, they want to try and they want to get involved. And I think that like, that's such a beautiful thing. And rugby is so welcoming because no matter your body shape, no matter your size, there's a place for you on the field, right? It really, one of the best things that you can have playing the sport is confidence. So if you have confidence, you're going to excel.
I got goosebumps for you when you said 10,000 people. That is amazing. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I know that Canadian soccer is currently having issues regarding funding, which Christine Sinclair, she recently said it's a major challenge for the sport growing and being more competitive. So what are the opportunities in that regard or the threats that you see to rugby in Canada?
Because rugby isn't one of the top five North American sports at the moment, like I said, we are growing and we will be soon. There's not a lot of money in it, especially in the pro leagues here in North America. But once you go out to Europe, there is, and I guess that's kind of the same as soccer. But we're kind of this on the same path as the female soccer team that like we're winning games. We're doing better than the men's side. We are getting our recognition for the amazing work that we're putting in, and we're starting a lot of development academies. And so I think once we do get that recognition, once we do get people into the sport, we'll start to get funding. But it's sad that rugby is still very much a pay-to-play sport. You know, when the World Cup was happening, people had to take off 4 months of work, and there wasn't a lot of money in to support the players going to the World Cup, whereas other teams are able to support their teams representing their country. One of the things that provides, you know, a bit of motivation for us is that someone was able to stand up and stand and, you know, take a stand against these equal pay issues. So Christine Sinclair is definitely a role model to the rugby community, and that she was able to do that. And I think we're soon to follow. These conversations need to be had. And if we're winning games and if we're showing that this is a sport that's provides a lot more than just entertainment.
Like you said, the more that you're winning games, and you're winning games by such a huge lead, I hope that would get the equal pay that you guys deserve. Like, 4 months off work is no small thing. While I was watching your Team Canada game, I noticed the announcers were calling you Brie Marley. I actually had to like then check my work email because I was like, have I been saying Brianna's name wrong? But no, it's Marty. So what is that about?
Yeah, you can look at it from different angles. Sometimes it's a common mistake and people just mispronounce. Unfortunately for me, it happens all too often that my name is either like mispronounced or I'm called someone altogether. It definitely goes into a deeper issue in, you know, equitable sport and safe sport and things like that. This is a fight that I've been fighting for a while.
Question. Is the other player's name that you're always called, is it the only other Black woman on the team?
It is the only other Black woman on the team. And not only the only other Black woman on the team, but the only other Black woman who has a more African-sounding name. So it's funny, like, if you look at my name on paper, Brianna Marty, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, you know. And people don't usually expect to see me. And I've had lots of encounters where that happens, where people actually have almost removed me from events because they're like, oh, that's, you're not the person whose name is on that tag. And yeah, like, I've had to have my mom bring my health card once because the convener didn't think that I was Brianna Marty. She thought that I stole my name tag from one of my friends to get into the venue. Let's say the truth, rugby is not as inclusive as I wish that it would be. There's not a lot of Black or other women of color, players of color in general. And so having this be another barrier and another obstacle is it's a little sad. It's a little heart disheartening because, you know, I want to go far in this sport. Respected, and I want to be known by my name, by my identity.
Of course, that's very sad. I'm very sorry you have to go through that, having to justify that you have a North American sounding name and not an African sounding name. That's a little bit strange, and it's not like you have a very hard name to pronounce. Marty, you know, like Back to the Future Marty.
it's very like easily like phonetically pronounced how it's spelled.
And you're right, like, confusing you with just like the one other Black woman on the team, it makes it seem like there's only one Black woman playing on the team.
And especially in rugby, your jersey number goes to your position, and so it's also always very like important that, like, okay, Brianna Marty's wearing number one because she's playing like loose head prop, but for some reason they still get it wrong, and it sucks to go all of this way and be called by the wrong name, because where is my recognition in all of the work that I've done? Where is the recognition of this other teammate in all of the work that they've done, you know? Mm-hmm. And now you're taking away from my identity, but you're also taking away from, you know, the encouragement and the empowerment that's been given to me by my family and by my peers and from hers as well. It's not just a mistake of calling the wrong name. It's a massive slip of identity. It's a massive slip of, you know, individuality. And that's what we're missing when these things happen. And it's something that I've been fighting for a while.
Have you engaged with U Sports at all about
that? So we're under U Sports, and one of the biggest tournaments that we have at the end of the year is Nationals, where all the top 10 best teams of the university's athletics come together and play. And in our final game, throughout the whole tournament, they had been calling us the wrong name. They even called me names from girls on the other team. It just got so bad. And so I took it upon myself to write a letter to U Sports, and I addressed it to anyone and everyone of their email that I could find. And I actually got a response back from the CEO of U Sport, and I had a conversation with him, and he did apologize, and he did understand, you know, the misidentification and the ramifications that has, right? Like, it's not just like, oh, so-and-so looks like this person, so, you know, I accidentally mix them up. But especially for athletes of color, when we've lost so much and our names are so important to us because we finally get that power back. And I explained to them, especially my heritage being from Ghana, my name means that I'm the firstborn girl, my last name, and that's important. And imagine, like, if you have another, a young Ghanaian girl watching rugby and being like, oh my goodness, I know what this name means. But if we're mispronouncing that or if we're misrepresenting that, we miss representation as a whole. And I think there's just a bigger picture that we need to hit the mark. So that was a conversation that I had. And yeah, it was a good conversation for sure, but I definitely want more work to be done.
Well, I'm glad at least the president reached out and had that
Yeah.
conversation with you, but they were still mispronouncing your name.
Like I
So
said,
work to be
all the
done.
work needs to be done.
Work to
Yes.
be done. I wanted to give you kudos on the letter that you wrote. I
Yeah.
love the opening line. So I'm just going to read it out. My name is Brianna Marty. I want to start out by saying that it's very important for me that you know and understand that this is my name. Say it with your chest. That's it.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful line. I love that line.
Yeah, you know, my mama gave me that name and she wants to hear like when I get my glory and my stars that this is the name that has done all of the work, but there's power behind it too. So, absolutely.
I want to turn back a little bit to university. You're a part of quite a few committees. What made you go for those committees? And then also, how do you protect yourself from burnout doing all of these separate things?
So the major committee that I'm on actually is the anti-racism, anti-oppression committee at the university. And I was actually recommended for that committee because I took a stand on our rugby team because we were dealing with a lot of racism and we were dealing with a lot of ignorant comments. And I said, this is enough and we need to do something about it. I was one of the only three Black people on the team. The university saw the work that I was doing and they said, you know what, we would like you to be on this advisory committee for the president of the university. And so as one of the only undergraduate students on that committee, I advise on policies because believe it or not, right now, if I go to the university and I tell them that somebody has committed a crime against me because of the color of my skin, they have no obligation to investigate or to provide any disciplinary action, discriminate against me because of disability, then there is a legal obligation for them. But when it comes to race, there isn't. And so that's kind of the work that we're doing right now. And I like it. You know, being recommended for that means that I was doing something right and somebody saw what I was doing and they liked that. And I guess it keeps me from burnout because it's something that I'm passionate about. I think that this work is important and I think that this work needs to be done. And I love doing the work with people who love doing the work. I work with Lawrence Hill, the Book of Negroes. He's an amazing author and he's an amazing professor, an amazing teacher, and just an amazing all-around person. And so working with people like that who are like-minded and who have the same passions, it just kind of keeps me motivated. Like I don't want to stop doing the work I do. It gets me up every day. So I guess that kind of keeps me from burnout.
I'm glad that you're on the committee. I'm glad that things are
Yeah.
hopefully changing in that direction, and you're going to leave a good legacy behind. That's a lot to take on in your undergrad.
Thank you. I think it's important work to do, and I'm happy to do
So you have school on your plate, these committees on your plate, and you're
it.
also a student of the Government of Canada. You work for Natural Resources Canada. So what's
Yeah.
your impression of the public service so far?
Honestly, I got extremely lucky with the team that I'm on. I work with the great people and I like it. And it's interesting because I have worked in government before. I worked for Statistics Canada, but it was very different. I was working with them during the census, so it was very, a lot of individual work. But there's a lot of collaboration in this group, and everyone holds everyone to a very high standard and high regard. And it's incredible for me to see. Also, I'm on a team that's full of women, which is great. I'm our small team, but
One
he fits
man.
in very well. And I think that's like incredible for me to see because of the future of where government is going and public service is going. To see women in positions of power and to do great work, it gives me hope because I'm able to see myself in those positions in the future. I am still a student, so I don't know exactly what I want to do, but having this position right now and this stepping stone is amazing. Everybody is so nice to me. Everyone is so helpful. I have very silly questions sometimes. I had to ask someone how to change my inbox from the sender view to the like actual receiving view. Oh, you just do this. Like no one's laughing at me or anything, but I know it's such a silly question, but it's amazing. And the work that I'm doing, the trust that's been instilled in me is amazing. So yeah, I'm liking it so far. Highly would recommend. Everyone's been so accommodating and so nice to me and so encouraging. I'm like, wow, this is great. So yeah, I love it. Thank you so much.
Do you think climate and energy then is a field that you would like to get into
So my
next?
biggest thing is healthcare and advocacy, but I've been taking a lot of courses on how the environment is affecting healthcare accessibility And I know that NRCan has a division on that. And I was like, wait a minute, I didn't know these two things mixed. So that's something that I've been really interested in. And I do want to do a master's. So I've been doing a lot of research on how I can get into that and bring those two things together for sure.
I'm happy to hear your interest in the healthcare aspect too, because I'm a person with a disability and I've been working with a doctor who's a specialist in environmental health. So there is actually that field where you
No
talk about the
way.
environment and how that affects people's bodies and their health and their well-being. So there's a future in that. And I'm so glad to see your
Oh my
interest
goodness.
because it's a huge field and it's not a very well understood field. People with ME/CFS or fibromyalgia, there's a lot of demystifying that still needs to happen. We don't know what causes it. We don't know how to alleviate it. There's no cure for these conditions. So environmental health is really emerging science, and I think you'll be great in that.
See and be front row to the people that I'm helping. And so I think that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that.
The climate's going to just end up affecting everything.
Absolutely.
And we've seen that this summer. Like, just an example, like when air quality reaches really terrible levels because of wildfire smog, people with asthma, they're going to have worse impacts. People who are like immunocompromised. So it is really great to hear that people like you, Bree, are going to be looking into that. It's an area of interest. It's something that's really important. It's been great to chat with you, Bree. I wanted to do this for a while, so I'm glad we were able to make the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were on the same team. How special.
Yeah. Right? Like I get to work with someone as amazing as Nia, so I'm blessed.
Oh, thanks. We're very glad to have Bree on the team. It's been
Amazing.
fantastic. And also just really inspiring to me because you're seeing young people get into all these different fields and all these different interests, advocating for empowerment, for equity, for anti-racism. Really just happy to see that.
Thank you. Thanks.
So thanks again, Bree.
I'd
I
love to.
have no doubt you will be a force in this field and you'll be a voice that we're going to hear more and more of. You might be the rugby version of Christine St. Clair. And, I have great hope and I know we're going to see big things from you.
Today's episode of the Ideanomics Podcast with Brianna Marty was hosted by Neha Shahzad Chandarajan and Vishala Shambidesi. The episode was also edited by Vishala Shambidesi. Thank you so much for listening.